Listen, Ian. You're listening to I Am Called Ian. I am still the number one news and information service for people called Ian. I am called Ian Lewis.
And I am called Ian Ketterman.
Ian News.
And the Ian News is dominated by the occupation of the Ian News studio by revolutionary I-A-I-N Ians, who are Ians, who have stopped our real Ian News gathering.
Yes, and the occupation E-I-E-N will not end until all Ians are treated as one.
Yes, I-A-I-N Ians are Ians too.
Get off, you're not Ians, and you never will be as long as I have breath in my body.
Ian, please desist. You have no idea of what you're saying.
I do have an idea what I'm saying. The idea of what I'm saying is that I-A-I-N Ians are rubbish.
Listen, Ian.
They are.
Listen, I have a story to tell you.
What?
When I was a young Ian, I fathered a boy child.
Yes.
I called him Ian, obviously.
Yes, obviously.
But when I took him to the register of birth, there was a terrible mistake. I don't know. They got the wrong pen or something. I don't know. Anyway, they spelt his name I-A-I-N.
What?
And I'm ashamed to admit that I wrapped that child in swaddling bands and I left him on a doorstep to his fate.
That's understandable, Ian.
Just because he was called I-A-I-N Ian. Not any other reason, but by some twist of fate's stinking finger, that child has come into my life once again. And he's sitting beside me now. It's you, Ian Ketterman. You. You're my son.
Dad.
So, you see, son, you can't hate the I-A-N, I-I-A, or any kind of Ians, for you truly are one, too.
Well, I still hate them anyway. They aren't proper Ians, and neither am I. I resign from the Ian News now, and will now devote my life to destroy Ianing all I-A-I-N Ians, starting with myself.
No, Ian, don't drink that. That's poison. That's poison, Ian.
Oh, dear. I didn't realise the irony of my stance, that by killing myself, my holy mission has been ended.
Ian, son, don't leave me now, just as we were being reunited.
I'm sorry, Dad. I am dying, I mean.
Son, you I-A-I-N, Ian, see what you've done, you idiot nuts. I loved him.
We're sorry. Sorry. We didn't think anything like this would happen.
We must learn that when we live together in peace and harmony, only then will our problems be solved.
Yes.
After that, I will not rest until all I-A-I-N-ians are dead, starting with you.
Oh, no, please.
Get out.
Better than Bruno Brooks, not as good as John Peel, on 1FM.
This is Smog, from the album Julius Caesar, and it's called I Am Star Wars.
I am Star Wars today. I am no longer English grey. I am Star Wars today. I am no longer English grey.
Weeks. Chris, our other producer, said it wasn't jolly enough for 1FM. But it's, I think it's really good. I like the
it's awful. It's horrible. I like the subject the ears of 12-year-old children.
It's clever. It's like a cut-up-and-paste thing.
No, it isn't clever. It's rubbish. No, you've confused clever with rubbish.
It's a thin line between clever and rubbish.
Yeah,
I think it's great. It's the whole album's really good. This is the best thing on it.
Yeah, right, certainly is the best thing.
We've got a caller coming in.
Hello.
Hello, who's that?
Hello.
Hello, who's that?
What's your name?
This is Paul Hitchcock from Bristol.
Hello.
Right, introduce your record, mate.
Hold on.
Come on, hurry up.
Hold on, I've got the Buckles, good friends of mine, for doing DJ Kills the Radio Star.
It's a good one. That's certainly better than this, and joke's on you, Stu, because now that thing's been drowned out by this great song, the Buckles.
No, but it hasn't, because you think you've spoiled it, but actually, you've added to it as a piece of art now, because Smog would like that. They would like that. Thanks a lot for calling in, mate.
Same, we didn't drown out a bit more.
That's improved it. That's like a new element has been added to the piece.
Right.
And so the joke is actually on you, Rich, because you don't understand about it.
No, I do understand only too well all about it. Hi, Pete.
Pete's
back. You're back in the studio. How did you get in here? Security's not very good today. There's that odd bloke in earlier. And now we've got another odd bloke. Have you got anything you'd like to be played, Pete?
You got Do the Hucklebuck, you know, that I played the other week by Coast to Coast. Do the Hucklebuck.
Yeah.
Do the Hucklebuck.
No, I don't think we'll bother with that one. Thanks a lot. Wasn't really.
Do you like that? You do the Hucklebuck, do you, Pete, in your house?
Yeah.
Do you know how to do it? What do you have to do? Because I didn't explain it on the record.
No, I just thought of something with Charlie.
Did you?
Yeah, we sort of, you move your head about a bit to the right like that.
Pete,
just keep doing that.
Pete, you're very...
The Hucklebuck. The Hucklebuck.
That's actually the deaf sign language for a twat as well. You've done that. So, it's good. Well, now it's time to leave Pete and go over to Kevin Eldon with some more events listings. Hi, Kev.
You fool. Have you understood nothing? There are no events listings this week.
What do you mean?
The events listings was just my cover. Those events were no more real than that I am called Kevin.
What, the men's weighing contest? Big cock day? Hair hairs, hairy hair hairs?
Not one of them real, Stuart. This listings job is just a shady nook from out of which to do my real, important work, undetected by your planet's authorities.
Well, our planet's authorities, you mean, surely?
No, Richard. I was on a mission from another world when my ship got into difficulties. I crash-landed by your studio. My ship was out of fuel, but luckily there was a bountiful supply of it on your world. The substance you call hair.
So, you falsely sent our listeners to bogus events in order to shave off and collect their hair to fuel your rocket ship to return to your world.
That's right, Stu. But hair is more than a fuel to us. It is what we make our clothes from, what we eat. And then I and my kind will return to conquer your world and plunder the rich supply of hair that we as a race crave and covet. And we will not stop until all the creatures of your world are dead and bald.
You're insane! Wouldn't it be easier and more efficient anyway for you to farm the creatures of the Earth in cages, and as their hair keeps growing, you know, all their life, just shave it off then?
Let's go, because then you'd only have to kill Duncan Goodhue.
You pathetic fools! You will never understand my alien ways!
All right then, Kev, but look, just to show there's no hard feelings, how about a drink?
Oh.
Yeah?
All right, thank you, Stu.
Oh, what's that?
The one thing that we Earthlings have over your race, Kevin Eldon. Imac hair remover. You'll never conquer us.
Well, that's the Earth saved then.
Lee and Herring, the glue that holds 1FM together is made of their spunk.
I always said that Kevin Eldon, there was something strange about him.
Yeah.
It was the hair.
He was obsessed with hair.
It was hair all the time.
It became clear over the weeks, didn't it?
It did. And then, and now it becomes clear. It was because he was an alien.
A hair-obsessed alien.
And he needed the hair for himself.
This is one of the best songs ever. It's Nancy Sinatra and Lee Hazelwood, Some Velvet Morning.
Air.
Some velvet morning when I'm straight, I'm gonna open up your gate.
Rich, it's a bit scary, this.
Yeah.
And maybe tell you about Phaedra.
It's only pretend like Tron or something.
How she gave me life and how she made it in some velvet morning.
I don't like it.
Don't worry. It's
a deep voice.
It's scary, but don't worry.
Flowers grow.
This is all right. This is nice.
Yeah. Nice. Phaedra sounds nice, doesn't she?
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh.
Some velvet.
Ah! That's all right. I'm here, Pete, don't worry.
I'm gonna open up your gate.
The man won't get you, it's all right.
And maybe tell.
I really don't like this.
Go if you want. We didn't want you here anyway.
Flowers are the things we know. Secrets are the things we grow. Learn from us very much. Look at us, but do not touch.
We'll play that again, will you?
No, well, we haven't got any more shows, Pete, so it's doubtful we'll play it twice in one show, so don't worry too much. But I'll probably play it if I see you in the street, into your window. Have you been watching Brookside recently? You'll have seen Simon, the Christian bloke who blew up their house. Well, I like him a lot, and I'm thinking of setting up my religion with him as the figurehead, so if anyone wants to join that, do write in to the usual address back in London. Talking of mad religious cults, Stu, this week, went along to meet one new one that's set up.
So how and when did you first get involved with the group?
It was back in the early 80s, wasn't it? Maureen and me, we joined the Amish cult over in America.
Well, we'd seen Witness, and we liked the clothes and the simple life and, you know, the building barns and the use of grain towers as a method of execution.
Yeah,
it all seemed very natural.
Mm. But it wasn't long before we got very disenchanted with their ways. You see, we'd understood that they wouldn't use any modern items.
Modern
we agreed
items,
with that.
Right.
I mean, we both voted green in the 88 Euro elections, didn't we, Maureen? But after a couple of hours, I said to my neighbour, Samuel, do you mind if I borrow your phone, mate?
And he just said, we have no phone, brother, for it is an evil modern vanity.
But a phone isn't modern, is it? I mean, it was invented by Alexander Graham Bell in about 1880. That's really old. And they didn't have cars or tellies either. Not even black and white.
So how did you fit into the community under those sort of conditions?
Well, we didn't. I mean, we had to leave, obviously. Mm. But, I mean, us and a few of the others who saw I was right, we came back to Shrewsbury to set up our own anti-modern community, the Conkies.
Right, and what was different about the Conkies to the Amish, then?
Well, I mean, we kept the suits, the barns, that kind of stuff. But what we did was different, was we made the cut-off point of when things became evil much more sensible.
Mm.
No, really modern.
Right.
And, I mean, we all agreed, a lot of discussion, but we all agreed that the date should be December the 6th, 1982.
Because that just seemed to be the time when there were a lot of quite useful inventions by December the 6th, 1982. But it hadn't sort of got out of control like it has in the madness of modern times.
I see.
So if you
want
to come with me, and I'll show you some of the other rooms.
Okay, Maureen, so where are we now, then?
Well, this is the games room, and this is Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Yeah. Now, I see that's a computer game you're playing there, though, isn't it? Surely that is a modern invention, and therefore, you know, you're not allowed to do it.
No, because this is the Atari system here, you see, which was around in 1981. I'm playing the tennis game, which
it's
is
a very simple game.
Oh, it's very exciting. You've got to use your imagination a bit. That's Ilina Stasi there versus Tracy Austin. And, oh, see, I know they're just blocks on there.
All right, Galaxians.
No, 1983, you see. Mm. In colour.
Right,
evil.
I see.
Thing, you know, we all sort of chip in and
right,
do.
Right, and
things.
So this is the kitchen, yeah.
Yeah. So here, this is Peter.
Just the bloke with the thin tie.
Yeah. Right. And this week, Peter's cooking for everybody.
Okay. Right. Were there any particular restrictions about what you can eat? Do you have a dietary code or what?
Well, anything that's prepared in using gadgets, you know, from before 1982.
Right.
Obviously, not
so
since.
What would that be then exactly?
Well, we don't have microwaves, obviously, they are sick and evil, but we still use the Breville sandwich maker.
Right. Well, there's not a wide variety of stuff you can do with that, is there?
Well, no, there are. I mean, you can have ham and cheese, or ham or cheese.
Right.
Or you can have cheese and onion.
Jam as a pudding,
yeah,
hot jam
sandwich.
It's a sandwich-based diet, then.
A toasted sandwich-based diet.
Yeah. What about a drink? Would you drink alcohol?
Well, yeah, we'll have cans of beer and soft drinks if you fancy something, you know. And we've got the soda stream there.
Right,
you know,
right.
So, there you go, that's the blue-coloured one there, the raspberry flavour.
That's lovely, it's my favourite.
Yeah, getting busy with the fizzy.
Thanks a lot for having us along, folks. I've had a really interesting day, and it's been great looking around at how you live. It's been a real eye-opener, but... And will December 1982 for you always remain the cut-off point, you know, at which the modern world started?
Definitely,
no doubt.
Yeah.
Lee and Herring on 1FM.
The delicious break from potatoes, now in six fabulous flavours.
Those Breville sandwich toasters they mentioned. That
Breville?
Breville,
right.
I said Breville.
Did you?
Yeah.
Right.
They're very good, because I used to have those. What I used to like to do when I was a student was I'd have a sandwich with cheese.
Yeah.
And then onion, which I'd make in a ring, and then I'd crack an egg into the onion ring.
But your girlfriend loved your oniony breath, didn't she?
She did.
Did she?
She really liked it. Well, she liked my personality, so it didn't really matter.
Right, okay.
That was great, so I really miss those days of eating that.
But you used to eat like that a lot, didn't you? You've put on a lot of weight recently, haven't you, I've noticed.
Yeah, well, I have, yeah. But after Edinburgh, obviously, I can't stop in Edinburgh, but I'm going to cut down.
Got any ideas of how to do that?
Well, I thought I might contract a serious disease like dysentery.
Right.
And apparently someone had dysentery, I know, and it drops off.
Well, you can have those worms put in you, big tapeworms, and they eat the food for you.
Yeah,
and then they just
good.
Grow inside you, but it doesn't go on your stomach. One idea I had about losing weight was if you get like an Ipcress machine on your brain, which shoots electric shocks into your brain every time you see a picture of food, and makes your brain sort of fry and hurt.
Yeah.
And then when you see some food, you won't want to eat it because you're associated
scared.
With extreme pain.
I'll run away.
That's
a good idea. Well, I'll die when I.
You might die, but that'll help you to lose weight
as well.
Maybe if
I have one type of food that's all right, chocolate.
No, he says that's not the point, is it? That doesn't
celery.
Work. Celery, that would be
alright. Okay,
right,
I'll do it with celery, that's quite good. Or I thought what I might do is wank a lot and then.
You can't say that on Radio 1.
What, wank?
No, not twice.
Alright, well, I'd masturbate into a frenzy.
In a frenzy, that would help burn off the energy
burn
as well.
Off, both burn off calories and the spunk.
Shut up! Stop!
Sperm.
The idea I had is... that's enough.
That
you can't say that. We can't use this.
The gametes coming out...
they're very heavy.
They would. You'd lose that.
You'd lose
it
weight.
8 or 9 times a day, that would be a couple of ounces every time.
You'd just turn into a thin shadow of your former self,
you
eventually.
And the exercise.
I know. The idea I had about losing weight didn't involve any of those things that you just said. It was to move in with Pete Bainham and get him to cook all your food for you. And then you either won't want to eat it, or if you do eat it, you'll just be sick. So that would help you to lose weight as well. Try a combination of all four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good, thanks for that. That's very helpful. This is my choice of music. It's Paul Simon. He's a terrific... I like four things in music. Ice-T, Sex Pistols, Paul Simon, and The Jam. That's it. This is really good. I like Stu's rubbish.
When I think back on all the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder I can think at all. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing on the wall. Hold a throne, give us the nice bright colors, give us the greens of summers, makes you think all the world's a sunny day. Love to take a photograph, so mama don't take my coat from away.
See, it's got lyrics. This is a nice tune. Not like all that Star Wars rubbish she was playing.
Ugh.
If you took all the girls I knew when I was single, brought them all together for one night, I know they'd never match my sweet imagination. And everything looks worse in black and white.
Right, we've got another DJ coming up on the line. If they're the best one on today's show, may get to DJ next week's show. So we've got George from Exeter. Let's have your DJing and your record, George.
Hi.
Hello, go for it, mate.
Okay.
What is it?
It's Spin Doctors.
Ah, Spin Doctors. It's very loud, isn't it? Some guitar there. Sort of making a noise.
Right.
Yeah, it's very good. Do you like this one, George?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You're not from the George from Rainbow, are you?
No, I'm not George from Rainbow.
Oh, okay, so I was just thinking. Well, thanks very much, okay. George. No. Go on, play some more. Scary. It is a bit scary. Is there any lyrics in this song, or is it just some noise?
Yeah, it's just not very good recording.
Okay, would you like to do the show next week?
Oh, I'd love to, yeah.
Would you? Okay, well, if you come in to 16 Langham Street in London,
okay.
Just about 9, come in about 5 to 9, and they should probably have the studio there for you, because I think yours is the best. You're the best at DJing, okay?
Okay.
Pay for your ticket at your end,
yeah.
And keep a receipt.
Okay.
And they will then, they'll refund that. But do come in.
Oh, yeah.
And they will be. What's your surname?
Shiel.
George Shiel?
Yeah.
Shiel, like a shield without a D?
Yeah.
Okay, right, they'll be expecting you coming to 16 Langham Street. Thanks very much, George, that was great. Thanks.
Hello, it is I, Simon Quidlack, the Duke of all hobbies and Prince of most pastimes. As this is the last programme for now, I am back with some ideas of ways to fill your time when you have finished doing all your hobbies for the day and yet wish to avoid sitting around alone thinking about how worthless your life is and being plagued by the shouting disembodied heads of women that float around in your brain. What you will need:
a stopwatch,
a pencil and book,
a chair,
a flask of wheat worm and drug,
and nothing else.
This hobby is called seeing how long you can go without doing a hobby or encountering the bodiless shouting head women. What you need to do: sit down in a chair and start your stopwatch. Empty your head of all thoughts of hobbies, pastimes, etc. Continue to do this until which time you find yourself smashing an egg or ringing up Norris McWhirter or doing one of your other hobbies. Or when the shouting women in your brain begin shouting, "Oh, darn, I've done a rubbing of a vicar's arse. I must stop the clock. 35 seconds. Note down how long you went without doing a hobby in your non-hobby book and make a table of the top 10 times. See if you can beat the longest one next time. Remember, you must not drink the weak lemon drink, but hold it in your hand without thinking about it. Drinking weak lemon drink constitutes taking part in a hobby. You may be tempted to drink it, but do not. You may find you get a strange sense of excitement from denying yourself the drink, but don't worry, you're not strange or dirty or anything. That is a natural and beautiful experience between you and your weak lemon drink. Some people, like Lambert Harris, argue that by timing oneself and taking notes, the non-hobby automatically becomes a hobby, and thus creates a dichotomy which could implode and destroy the world of hobbies for always. But I simply reply, no, my non-hobby is not a hobby. It is a non-hobby. And he can't answer that. Ah! The head women are back telling me to kill Winston Churchill! Ah! But enjoy your hobbies and non-hobbies and smite the slack-shouting bodiless women in your brains by any means necessary. Bye!
Bye!
Well, that's about the end of the show, and that's the end of the series. It's been quite good, hasn't it, Stu?
It's been all right. Yeah, thanks to everyone who wrote in. We've been really busy, so I haven't replied to you yet, but we will do next week, and also we'll send the stuff that we promised to the people who've won things.
Honestly.
Honestly.
We will. It's been really good. Thanks a lot, everyone, for that. And we've got for you, Pete. We've got a little surprise for you.
I'm done about this.
It's all right, Pete. It's an idea we've got. You know how farmers burn the dead stubble and stuff like that to clear the land, right?
Yeah.
But we thought that it'd be a good idea if we set fire to you. It'll clean you up a bit. It'll be fine, mate. Don't worry about it. Anyway, we're going to play you out in a minute with the last record of the series, which appropriately enough is called Is That All There Is by the excellent Giant Sand. But before we start that, I'm just going to set fire to Pete. His match is here. There we are. And see the grease on him burns naturally.
Oh, dear.
There's some water there. You'll sort it out yourself.
Quite a blaze, isn't it?
Can you take the fire off my head?
The whole damn TV set caught on fire, and Dad picked me up like a football. Got me out of the house. And I stood there in my pajamas watching the whole thing burn. And when it was all done and the fire trucks had left, I said to myself, is that all there is to a fire? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friend, then let's keep dancing. Let's bring on the
getting something out. It's a quick lifestyle hint. If your head's on fire, just sort of blow up, push.
If that's all there is. And then there's this wonderful girl that I fell head over heels in love. We would take walks for miles down by the river and just stare into each other's eyes. And then one day she up and left. I thought I was going to die, but I didn't. And when I didn't, I said, is that all there is to love? Is that all there is? Is that all there is?
I think I've got rid of most of it now, yes. It's gone out. It's got rid of some of the dirt, actually. Bit of skin. It's all right.
Then let's keep dancing. Let's bring on the booze and have a sable. If that's all that is.
I suppose it was best they did that.
Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friend, let's keep on dancing. Bring on the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is.
Well, that's all there is for this series. Appropriately, that is all there is. This was the Lee and Herring Show, so thanks to Richard Herring, Stuart Lee, that's me, Kevin Eldon, Ronnie Ancona, Tom Binns, Rebecca Front, Peter Bainham, and the whole thing was produced by Sarah Smith. Shall we go now, Rich, yeah?
Yeah, bye then! Stay awake to make the
noise that keeps us awake!
Here's Mark Radcliffe.
This download is brought to you by www.bestoffan.net.